1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." It's speaking about the false teachers. "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not God, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Now, God has inspired John to write some powerful words here for us, so powerful that they, like all of the Word of God, have remained effective for all of time. So powerful that we make application to our lives today, just as the reader would have been able to do just after John penned that letter so many hundreds of years ago. It's that application then and that application now that shows us that this is truly the Word of God and not John's words. God ordained it so that we might know His heart and that we might know His power. And that we might know the power that He gives to the believers. Last week we studied about that power that God gives to believers. We're overcomers, the Bible tells us. There are false teachers out there. There were false teachers when John penned this letter. There are false teachers today. They're teaching falsely. They're trying to convince others to follow their false teaching. But the children of God have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. That's what the Bible says. We have nothing to fear. No matter what they teach, we have nothing to fear because we know what we believe. And we know that what we believe is true because we have read it in the Word of Truth, God's Word, the Bible. And if any counsel I can give you, and I believe that I've given you this counsel before, it is this: try all things against the Word of God. And if the Word of God holds it up to be true, then we can believe in it. But if it contradicts with the Word of God, then we got to know that the Word of God is never wrong and it will never fail us. And therefore, what they proclaim to be truth must be a lie, and we need to avoid it. We need to avoid it. But God says our faith is the victory that has made us to be overcomers, overcomers of the false teachers. And overcomers of the world. We have overcome the world and those who are in the world because of our relationship with our Father. We are of God, the Bible tells us. He assured us of that. We are of God because of our faith in His plan of salvation. His plan of salvation declares that we are saved by faith and by faith alone. We are saved by faith and by faith alone, and that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of the believers. John puts it this way: greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He says that's power. That's victory. You know, if we remember that, then we can counteract the false teachers. You know how we can do that? By spreading the true gospel. We can counteract them by spreading the true gospel with no fear. No fear that we will be influenced by what they try to whisper into our ears. No fear that they will be victorious against our God, because they can't be. God wants us to not only understand His heart, but He wants us to imitate Him. He wants us to be just like Him. And John dedicates a large part of this letter to the love of God, what it means to love God. And we're going to deal with from now until the end of this chapter on the love of God. It's going to be a bit of a long series, but I think that it will be worth it to us to really dig into the heart of God. I've entitled the message today, "The Manifested Love of God." Really, we're going to be talking about what it means to love God. What does love mean in the eyes of God? John, I believe, is showing us that to know God, to be a believer, to be a Christian, means to be a person of action, to display the heart of God. And we're going to explore what it means to be of God. Because that's what John talks about here. What does it mean to be of God? We're going to talk about what it means to be of God, His children, and the characteristic that makes Him who He is. 2 points that I want to share with you, both directly from John's writings here in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The first point is this, that love is of God. That's important. And the second is that God is love. First of all, let's look at love is of God. Let's review again 1 John 4, 7 in your bulletin there. He says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, we're called to action as believers because of what we know. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, love is of God. Love is God's design, I believe what John is telling us. Love is God's design, and it is His desire towards us. You know that we were not an afterthought to God. He did not create, you know, we read the creation account, and we see that, you know, that God did not create man on the very first day. But that does not mean that we were an afterthought to God, that we were always a part of God's plan. And when God created us, He created man in His own image out of love. Now, I want to show you that. Look in Genesis chapter 1, page 1 in your pew Bible. Genesis chapter number 1. I want to show you what God says about the creation of man, the whole starting point. And I want you to see that love is God's design because He created us. He created us to be absolutely like Him. Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now God created us in His image. Not because we were an afterthought, but because we were a creation after His own heart. In His image, to have His heart and to be His children. Now where does it start? Where does this whole idea of love is of God, where does it start? I mean, did it have a beginning? How do we take on the image and the heart of God so that we can love as He loves us? Well, interestingly, the Bible answers that question for us. I believe that God gives us the answer about what His heart looks like so that we might understand how that we might have the same heart. Look in Leviticus 19, where God gives the children of Israel His law. Leviticus 19, page 98 in your pew Bibles. Genesis, Exodus, then Leviticus. Leviticus 19. We're going to start reading at verse number 1 as God has given to Moses His commands for the children of Israel. He shows us His heart towards us, and He shows us how to love as He loves. What love really is in the eyes of God. Leviticus 19, verse 1, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Okay, first of all, there's the first characteristic that shows us the heart of our God. He says, All right, I want you to be like me. I created you in my image. I love you enough for you to be just like me. I am holy. You be holy. Now He says, Speak, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. He says, I love family. And I want you to love family because I love you. Okay, now He goes on. He says, Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Be faithful, because I'm going to be faithful to you. He says He's going to show us how to be in love with Him. He says, And if you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. He says, I want you to come willingly. I want you to love me willingly as I love you. Love is of God. He is showing us this. You know, too often I think people read the Old Testament with this idea that there's such a harshness about God. But what God is really showing us is how much He loves us. He was showing us how to build a relationship with Him and how to fall in love with Him and to be just like Him. He says, all right, if you bring a sacrifice of peace offering, verse 6, he says, it shall be eaten the same day as you offer it, and on the morrow, and if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. These are instructions. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable, it shall not be accepted. Now, he's talking to us about how to be true to our relationship with Him, how to do as He is saying. He says, therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. But look what he says now, beginning in verse 9. He says, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. He says, I want you to learn to be generous. He says, because I'm going to be generous with you. And I want you to see the love of God. I want you to be able to display the love of God to all those that you come into contact with. He says, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. He says, I want you to be honorable. I want you to be a people of honor, a people who can be depended upon. He says, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. He says, I want you to be true to the name of God. Amen. He says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. He says, I want you to be true to your word. I want you to show you what the love of God is. He says, I want you to know that you can depend upon me, and I want people to be able to know that they can depend upon you. Amen. Because you're in my image. You're my children. He says, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. He says, I want you to be kind. I don't want you to be a stumbling block. He says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. He said he wants us to be right, and he wants us to be righteous. That's what love is. He says, and thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. He says, if you see somebody doing wrong, just as I would correct you because you love them, because you love me, he says, will you just correct them? Will you take that opportunity? He says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And what is the reason? Because I am the Lord. Amen. He's showing us what love is. And all that God is saying, this is how I love you. This is how I love you. And this is how I want you to love others in my name. Love is of God. And let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's the heart of God right there. Now, so God jumps to his New Testament and he doesn't change his heart about us loving one another and loving other people. Now look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, that's page 862 in your Pew Bibles. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, then Ephesians. Galatians chapter number 5. We're going to start reading at verse number 14. It's almost as if he just picks right up after Leviticus chapter 19 as he shows us what it means to be in love with us and his expectation for us to be in love or to show love for others. Galatians 5 verse 14, he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, there he is. He picks up right back there again. So he says, if we're gonna declare that we know God, then we've got to love one another. And one another goes beyond those who are in love with us. It goes beyond those who are in love with us. And we have to extend that. That is why we can pray that we might be a light to others. That God will show us how to be a light, how to be so in love with people that we go with the intention of shining a light in a dark place so that they might see the love and the light of Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, he says this. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. He says, if we don't fall in love with people, then we can just be destroyed one for another. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Yes, it's a battle. He says, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, if we understand that love is of God, and we will have a heart's desire to be led by the love of God, by the Spirit of God. He says, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. He said, now here are the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why not? Because they're not of God.
Amen.
Because they don't know the love of God. Because there will be no place for those things in the kingdom of God. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now God is showing us what the love of God is. Love is of God. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I believe when we get the whole idea about love, then other things just get piled on top of us as we just get filled up with the joy it is in serving the Lord. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. He says against such there is no law. And if I can tell you what I believe God is telling us here is that first of all, we get this whole idea of the Spirit of love. He said, then we can have joy as we move about our day, and we can have peace no matter what storms howl about us. And then we can have patience. That's what long suffering is all about. That we can have patience with those who oppose themselves, who need to know what we know about Christ. That's what love is all about. He says, and that's the Spirit he wants us to have deep down on the inside of us, bubbling to get out of us so that we might share it with other folks. He says in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's that love. Live in it, walk in it. Put feet on our love is what God is telling us. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. But he wants us to live in the Spirit, in the love of God, in the image of God. He is holy.
Amen.
He says, then we ought to be holy as well. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So how do we manifest that love? How do we make that love known? How do we make it come alive? How do we prove to have the heart of God? How do we prove to have the love of God in us? That we are truly walking in the Spirit. Well, I think Paul goes on and he answers that for us. Let's read a little bit in chapter number 6. Still there in Galatians. Chapter 6, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Can I add a little bit to that? Not to add to the Word of God, but ye who are lovers.
Amen.
As God is a lover of mankind. As God loves you, ye which are spiritual. You restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What God is telling us is this. He said, let's put some feet on the love of God. And let's see people who are hurting, people who are outside of the love of God. He says, let us help him. Let's not talk about him, but let us pray for him. Let us minister to him. He says, in a spirit of meekness, considering that, you know what? But by the grace of God, I could be in the exact same situation. But by the grace of God, I could need somebody to be ministering to me. He says, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I want to give you one more example, and then we'll move forward. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 4, page 896 in your few Bibles. Hebrews, James, then 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, page 896. So here, Paul has already told us that we are to display the love of God. He's given us the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, starting out with love. And he's told us to love in such a way that if we see someone who's taken in a fault, that we should be there to lift them up. We which are spiritual, to restore them in their faith with a spirit of meekness. That means not beating them up with the word, but loving them with the word of God. And here in 1 Peter, he tells us more about how we can love a brother, love a sister back into the faith. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity, fervent love, he says, among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, if I could just take you back one more time to Galatians, you don't have to turn there, but I just want to make sure you understand. Paul wrote that if we find a brother who is overtaken in fault, then we who are spiritual ought to minister to him in, with a spirit of meekness. He's saying we ought to love him as God loves us. And then Peter puts it this way, that we ought to have fervent charity among ourselves, because love covers a multitude of sins. You know what he's saying there? Love doesn't make it go away, but love will usher them back, and love will show them forgiveness as God has forgiven us. He says, use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift. And this is the love of God. Beloved, let us love one another. Here it is, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, because God loved you. Why don't you love another one? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Verse 10 clearly says, everyone that loveth is born of God. We minister in God's stead as his ambassador because we know God. So love is of God. My second point is this, God is love. Go back to 1 John 4 in your bulletin there again. Verse 8. So he tells us that everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. In verse 8 he says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Now, we need to let that sink in for a minute. He that loveth not knoweth not God. So now, let's just reflect for a minute. We've established that love is of God, and that God loved his people from the very beginning, that he selected them out of love for them, that he gave them his law because he loved them. He showed them how to love him. And he continually showed them how to love him. But now he says in the word here, he says, all right, let's understand here what it means. He says, if we refuse to love as God loves, then it must be because there's a heart condition. There's a heart problem. It says, if you can't love, then you don't know God. So God is calling upon us to really put some feet to our faith. He says, because he that loveth not knoweth not God. And you know, we see many opportunities to show the love of Christ. And God says, I believe that God, through the writings that John has given us here today, God is saying, It's time for us to see the mission that's before us. And we need to get serious about doing God's business. Now, I want to show you how when Christ was preparing for his cross, how he sought to prepare his disciples for their mission that he had laid before them. It's on in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. That's on page 793 in your pew Bible. John chapter 13. Christ is preparing his disciples for his cross, for his passion. He's preparing them for the work that needs to be done when he's gone. He says to them in John 13, verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this," here's the key, "by this all shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now, if I could just make a quick application for us. How will anybody ever know we're a Christian if we don't ever tell anybody that we're a Christian? There you go. We got to show them. We got to show them that we are Christians. We got to show them that we are Christians. To show them that we love one another. As God has given us command, they will know that we are his disciples if we love one another. If we love as he loves. And we see the evidence of God being in love with us, of God being loved by the way that he has continually loved his children. Now, I love the way God recites for us the story of the children of Israel. Because in reciting the story of the children of Israel, we really get to see the heart of God. That God really is love. Now, it's recited so many places in the Bible, but I really like the way the believers recited the account in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 9, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, and then Nehemiah. It's on page 395 in your pew Bibles. 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 9. They, in praying before God, they're giving God his story, his love story to them, so that they might be reminded that God is love, and so that God might be reminded that he is love. In Nehemiah 9, skip down to verse 13. And this will hopefully bring the account beginning as early as Exodus back into your memories as to what the children of Israel did as they were led out of Egypt into the wilderness. It says, "Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments, and true laws, and good statutes, and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant." In other words, you gave them your expectations. "And you gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage." They wanted to go back. They didn't just think about going back, the Bible says. But they planned to go back. They said, "Moses is trying to lead us this way. We're going to have our own captain to take us back." He says, "But thou art a God ready to pardon." God is love. "Gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsooketh them not." God is love. He says, yea, when, verse 18, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations. Yet God is love. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsooketh them not in the wilderness. He says, even though they changed on him, he never changed on him. He says, the pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. They said, they turned on him, but a loving God never turned on them.
Amen.
Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners. So they possessed the land of Sion, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multipliest thou as the stars of heaven, and broughteth them into the land concerning which thou hast promised to their fathers that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So did they eat, and were filled, and became fat, and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient.
Amen.
And they slew thy prophets, which testified against them, to turn them back to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vex them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, because God is love, no matter what we do, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before you. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned, because God is love, yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest from them from heaven. And many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testifieth against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their necks, and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifieth against them by thy spirit in thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear, therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, because God is love, because God made a covenant promise with them, he says, nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. God is love. God is love, and he wants us to understand this love that he expects that we will convey to a people who have no idea who he is. As overcomers, we must also overcome the temptation. Y'all ready for this? As overcomers, we must also overcome the temptation to dismiss people who offend us. Because God is love. You know, that's what we just read about in Nehemiah there. He says, when they ticked him off in our language, He didn't just say, well, I got you in the wilderness. Let's see if you can figure out how to get your way out. No. He says that the pillar never left them in the day or in the night. And we gotta overcome the temptation to dismiss people who offend us. People who do not believe as we believe. People who turn their backs on God. When to us it seems so obvious that God loves them and seeks to forgive them. Still, we cannot turn our backs on them. Because to turn our backs to them, on them, would not evidence the manifested love of God. It wouldn't show that we know what it means to love God, but it would give the impression that God is not love. It will give the impression that God doesn't care about them. And that's not the heart of God. You know, we also got to be careful that we don't get so puffed up in that we know God and that we forget that God wants all sinners to come to repentance, because He does. God has given us examples of people who are religious. And, you know, to be religious is not a good thing. God wants us to be in a relationship. So we got to be careful. God wants us to be careful that we don't put ourselves up on a spiritual pedestal and that we forget that there are people who need to know Christ around us, and we got to be prepared to be those who will display the heart of God. He's given us examples. Now I'm going to show you a couple examples in John chapter 8, and then we'll be done. John chapter 8, page 787, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 8. Very familiar piece of scripture. John chapter 8, there were people who were seeking to tempt Christ to try to get Him to slip up in His interpretation of the law and what they understood of the law, what they understood God's instructions to be. And in this case, it was the scribes and the Pharisees. John chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1, you'll recognize this story very quickly. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and He taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. I love Christ's response. The Bible says He just stooped down, and with His finger He wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. Now, I tell you what, it'd be an interesting video to know what He was writing. I suspect He was probably writing those commandments to show them, you know, who they were. And to show them that, you know, maybe it was time for them too to be in the same arena with this woman. The Bible says He acted like He didn't hear. So when they continued asking Him, and I can imagine that while He's writing, thou shalt not. Well, the first guy's like, well, that don't mean nothing to me. You know, and he's still writing. That doesn't mean anything to me. But he kept, as he wrote on and as he wrote on, he began to touch the hearts of every one of them. And he says, they continued asking Him. He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, He stooped down and He kept on writing on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the elder, even until the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up Himself and He saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And I tell you what, I think that we can. I don't think it's a very loose interpretation to see that God loved her. Amen. That He loved her right where she was. And that's His counsel to you and I, that we got to be careful that we don't get so puffed up that we say, you know what, God is, he's my God. He's a God of the clean and not the God of the dirty. And he don't want me to get myself all mixed up with people who don't believe like I believe, who don't look like I look, who don't dress like I dress, who don't go where I go. He's saying, we got to be there just as he was to carry out the love of God to all people, not to stone them, but to lead them into a relationship with the Lord. And she said, here's the woman's response. No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Make your heart right. Go and sin no more. You know what I think he was saying to those people who were there, you know, which one of you want to die in your sin? Which one of you want to die for your sin today? And I think the same question we have to ask ourselves when we encounter people who deny Christ. Can we turn our backs on them?
No.
Can we refuse to pray for them?
No.
Can we refuse to share the love of God with them? No. Not if we are God. Not if we are of God. Not if we know that love is of God. Not if we know that God is love. Now, one last passage of scripture and I'll be done. Skip down in John 8 to verse number 47. There were Jewish men and women who proclaimed to know God, but they refused to accept Christ as his son and as being sent to be the Savior of the world. They claimed to be godly people. But could they be if they rejected Christ and thereby rejected his principles for living? The answer is no. But look in John, beginning at verse number 47, this is what God says. He says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Now this goes right along with what John has just written to us in 1 John. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? That's a lot of gall. But Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, because these people, they had no idea what the love of God was all about. They knew the story of how God had led his people from Egypt into the promised land. They knew all of that, but they had no idea what the love of God was really all about. He says to them there, he told them that if they were just to know him, if they were to keep his commandments, he said they would never taste death. In verse 53, they said, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? They said, Abraham was a man of faith and he's dead. And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. He said, you say that he is your God. Now, if he is your God, then you understand the love of God, and then you ought to be believing as God has instructed his people to believe, is what he's saying. In verse 55, he says, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Don't you like the boldness of Christ? He said, but I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now these guys, he's showing them that Abraham, he did get to see that Jesus is the Son of God. He says he saw it and he was glad. And it says, and then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He says, I want you to understand the love of God. He said, the love of God is walking, talking, standing here with you. He says, but you don't know him. You don't love me. You don't know me. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And you know, I like the way God put this. He says, Abraham was a wuss. He said, but God is a I am. He's in the present. He is. He has no beginning. He has no end. And it says, and because they did not know God, because they did not know the love of God, look what their response was. They took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, not because he was afraid, but because his time had not yet come. It says, and he went out of the temple going through the midst of them. He miraculously moved through them and so passed by. And I know I know this is a stretch, and forgive me. But he passed by them because they did not know him. He moved through the midst of them because they did not know him. And he passed on by. Had these but known the love of God, the call of God, then they would have been able to welcome the Son of God and would have sought to know him intimately and answer the call of God given to us by John himself. What's God's call? It's simple. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. Beloved, let us love one another. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the instruction that you've given us in your word. A call to love, not only to know the love of God, but to act on that love. Lord, I trust that your word has spoken to the heart of everyone who's listening as it's spoken to mine. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to display the love of God as we move about our lives. There are people who need to know what we know. First, let us show them. And then, Lord, give us the boldness to tell them. And then let your kingdom be strengthened, Lord, through our efforts. We believe still that it is the person of God and the Word of God that draws people unto yourself. But, Lord, you use your children to be your instruments. I pray you would just impress upon our hearts to be those instruments today. Lord, show us. Show us in our mind's eye right now the people in our walk, the people in our community, the people in our family who are without Christ. And Lord, I pray that those images might be burned into our hearts. And I pray, Father, that we might be compelled to action to show the love of God that we've come to know for ourselves, so that the whole world might know him, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.